dancing, memes, the balloon world championships. Yes, this is what you might think TikTok is useful for. And by the way, it totally is. And it's very entertaining on those purposes. But most recently, a hand gesture. That's right, a hand gesture that has been distributed, popularized, rinsed and repeated, has gone viral on TikTok. And this hand gesture was used in a life-saving way earlier this week, where a motorist in Kentucky contacted police after observing a girl who seemed to be in distress and showcased this hand gesture that was developed to showcase that you are in distress and that you need help. This one-handed gesture of putting the thumb in between the fingers and clamping down on the thumb with all fingers was caught by a motorist who then reported to the sheriff's deputy, who was able to stop this event from happening, and this girl who was in a car with a gentleman from being further abducted and taken across another state as she went through multiple states with this gentleman. And I want to talk about this hand gesture, and I want to talk about the genesis of it, its development and its need. And I'm really pleased that I've got Andrea Gunrush, Vice President of Public Engagement with the Canadian Women's Foundation, the organization, the Canadian organization, I should say, an underline, that has helped find and develop this hand gesture. Andrea, thank you for joining me.
Hi there. Thank you for having me.
I'm sure you're doing a lot of interviews and conversation as this story kind of makes the rounds across the continent. But tell me about this hand gesture. It developed last year. What was the need? Why did you see the need? And how did it come about?
Yeah, we started it in April 2020, in the beginning of the pandemic, in response to the fact that gender-based violence risks would increase. We know at times of disaster and crisis this happens. Things like intimate partner violence, sexual assault, and emotional abuse tends to go up. So we recognize that risk, and we also recognize the fact that people were using video calls so much more in the pandemic context. So those things together made it really a good time for us to release a tool that would make a difference for people to be able to use in a video call and say, hey, I need you to check in with me safely. I need your support.
You know, Andrea, I have to ask, it clearly went viral, but was the plan to make it go viral? Was it to engineer it to try to have the amount of sort of distribution that it did? Tell me that story in terms of launching it, creating it, and then have it catch on so quickly and so abundantly, at least across a specific demographic.
Well, we always hope that when we put out these things that lots yes. of people will see it and benefit from it. But honestly, it was so wonderful to see how people used it. People really shared it with their communities, shared it across their channels, and really made it their own. Especially the TikTok situation is so interesting because we didn't have a TikTok channel at the time. People took it up and actually shared it on TikTok just on their own. And it's a right. good indication as well, too. Media shared it as well, to the point that by July, we started in April, and by July, 1 in 3 people in Canada knew of the signal or had seen it being used. So that's a very good indication, at least in Canada, but certainly we know around the world that it spoke to something that was in need.
And I want to talk to you about its use cases and where you've seen it or heard anecdotally or otherwise where it's been used outside of this situation. But talk to me about the hand gesture itself. I found when I was kind of looking into the story, I found the particulars of the hand gesture, the metaphor that it was trying to convey, also quite symbolic and useful.
Yeah, so it's just something that you can use your palm up, your thumb tucked into your palm, and your fingers trapping your thumb to your palm. And it's just one fluid movement, and it means I need you to check in with me safely. It tends to be used in a call where people do know each other, so the person seeing it can yeah. respond after the fact and say, hey, I'm here. Reach out to me when you get a chance. And the person using it can then tell you what they need you to do. So it is just really a conversation starter. It doesn't signify anything per se in and of itself. But in this circumstance, as you can see, people used it this particular person used it out of a moving car, and the people on the other side who saw it knew that means that person is in distress. I'm going to call 911. It's very contextual, and it's something that you need to do, really letting the person who is using it take the lead. sometimes it might mean I need you to follow up with me and just be a kind listener. It might mean I need a service. I need a rape crisis center. I need a shelter number. Or it could mean call the authorities. But you got to let the person who's using it lead the way.
You know, tell me about what, to that point then, you know, it's almost universality in terms of its use case, the broad definition of what it might mean or what the follow-up may require. Is this now being implemented as part of, you know, American Sign Language or even through the process? What was it like, you know, trying to reconcile creating a new universal hand gesture with you know, a language that already existed in some ways?
Well, you know, we tried to make sure that we were not reproducing other things, but there may be very well signals out there. There's tons of hand signals, and as you said, lots of people use their hands to communicate. But really, what's so important is to recognize the contextual nature of it. It is very much that you have to follow up with the person who's using it, and especially if you know the person. There may be those moments where somebody would just use it in this context, in a car or out of a window. That, of course, is a special case where you know that person is in immediate distress and call 911 or emergency services. But I think it's really important for us to recognize, especially things like gender-based violence, what a cloud of silence and shame and stigma gets in the way of that, where people feel they will not get a good response if they say something, and whereas people don't even know how to bring it up. It's so sensitive, people might not feel like they have the tools to do that. And that's why at the end of the month, we're going to be releasing a signal responder's guide to make sure that people know how to respond to any sign or signal that somebody is going through a dangerous situation. People may not be even safe enough to use the signal for help. That's why we have to be so proactive. We have to see the signs, recognize them, and be that supportive person. It's really about changing our culture of stigma to a culture of support.
Yeah, no, I really appreciate that and love the work that you're doing. Talk to me about this guide a bit more. Is it signals in response to this signal? Are you adding to the zeitgeist of signals, so to speak, or is it different?
Well, we're trying to make sure that people know how to respond proactively, whether or not a signal is used. So this whole idea of being able to say, you know, how do I even broach a subject if I feel that somebody's going through a dangerous situation? What are the things that I can say? What are the most powerful things that I'm telling people right now that they have to do? And it's really important for us to do. Reach out to your friends and family proactively. Say, hey, if you're going through a dangerous situation, if you're in a violent relationship, you reach out to me. I am not going to judge you. I'm supporting you. I'm going to be beside you. If we all did that, this whole kind of shame and stigma and blaming that happens would go right down. And I do believe that gender-based violence would not be as acceptable as it is right now. Right now, 44% of women in Canada experience some form of physical, sexual, or psychological violence in their lifetimes. So you can see that this is kind of something that we've accepted for too long, and we have to shift our culture and our thinking and make sure that people know that they will not be blamed if they come to us for support.
Andrea, I just got about 30 seconds for you, but have you heard of other stories? I mean, this one clearly making the rounds of the North Carolina teen in Kentucky. Have you heard of other stories? And I'm sure a lot of them don't get looped back to you, but tell me about your experience of other stories where this gesture has been proven to be life-saving.
I know of two other circumstances for sure. I know that a YouTuber used it in the context of the YouTube video, and afterwards it was confirmed that people did see it and that she did find safety. And then I heard as well about a young person using it in a Zoom call who was experiencing family abuse, and they were able to get help as well. The person who followed up with them let us know that they were able to get help. Those are two confirmed circumstances, but we know for as many as we hear about, there could be thousands that we don't hear about. So it's important for us to act.
Andrea Gunraj, Vice President of Public Engagement with the Canadian Women's Foundation. Thank you for, frankly, your life-saving work and all the work that you folks do. Thank you, Andrea.
Thank you.
Oh, quite the story, quite the life-saving story, and Canadian roots nonetheless.